200 years since they invaded Aboriginal land.
The land belongs to us. We belong to the land.
They don't do these things. They talk about it, but they never do it.
Government is trying to take away from us.
Let's talk. Triple A's flagship program that continues to elevate the diverse voices of First Nations people across the country. Centered around the unceded sovereignty of First Nations people in this country, honouring the history with a solutions-based focus on the future. With your host, Pomeroy journalist...
Try to take the crown. I ain't ever giving up on you. I know you'll never let me down. 'Cause you've got that fire in you. I feel it burning, baby. Get back up on your feet and fight again, yeah. It's you against the world. Keep pushing through the pain. Get back. Just remember that.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk, broadcasting live from Tamworth for the 50th Annual Country Music Festival, one of the biggest festivals in the world. My name's Danny Tees Johnson. I'm a Gomeroi journalist from Moree, New South Wales. I'm very lucky as a black media broadcast today, get to broadcast from my own lands out here on beautiful Gomeroi country. Today on the show, I'm joined, well, with the next big thing, the star maker of all star makers, Miss Lauren Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Hello, good morning.
Can you start your mob in your country, please? And then when you do that, would you mind giving us an acknowledgement or welcome to country for all our listeners across the nation today, please?
Definitely. I'm Lauren Ryan. My mob is Gomeroi. My country is Gomeroi. Tamworth born and bred. Yaman Yindai, Gamilaroi, Nini Winan Yalana, Gir Nini Google Winan Yalana, Gir Nini Wayama Winan Yalana, Nina Nya Lubala, Nini Winan Yalana, which means I acknowledge this is Gomeroi country, this is my country, my mother's country. While we're here, I want to think about our elders, I want to think about our ancestors, not with us anymore. And, walk along
the
respect.
Yeah. Now, thank you for that. Usually I do the acknowledgement of country to wherever we are broadcasting from and whoever's listening out there. But it's nice to have someone come on the show and do it in language. So thank you so much, Lauren.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, listen, last night we got to go along to the Star Maker final. An incredible evening of talent lineups. Could you please talk us through the Star Maker process? And just take us back to where it all began, of when you first applied for this whole competition.
Yeah, so I've been actively watching the competition for quite some time now, a few years, and I always wanted to apply. And so this year I felt I was really ready to do that. And so I put in my application and, you know, they wanted bios and videos and they had really extensive questions to answer about, you know, what our game plan for our future is and you know, the certain outcomes that we want from the country music industry and our careers. And so, yeah, I guess I answered those questions right because I was named as one of the top 10 star makers.
That's pretty incredible in itself, just making the top 10, right?
It is, you know. It's
there must be thousands and thousands of young mob out there, black, white and brindle, all sort of, you know, applying for this, you know, magic competition to use it as a platform and a springboard to go and take over the world, right?
That's right, yeah. Word was that there were 100 applicants.
Yeah, wow.
So to be chosen, you know, out of those 100.
Now, I was on Brekkie Radio this morning. I was chatting to Jarrell and Tariana. The Brekkie crew, shout out to them. They won an award out here yesterday, so congratulations to our team.
Congrats.
But I was just absolutely taken aback last night just about the process of the finals, the pressure that you're under as artists. You have an enormous crowd out there, and then you've got to go up and you sing songs, you've got to go through interview processes. Can you just tell the audience what this is all like? Because unless you're there in it, you don't really understand just how big this is and how amazing it is.
Yeah, you're right, of course. And I guess because of the things that you get in the end and the things that are up for grabs within the competition, it has to be such a thorough process. So, yeah, we've been under a microscope since January, really, since the postponement, because Star Maker had to move with the festival. So, yeah, I mean, they've been watching our social media accounts and, you know, secretly coming to our gigs and all those things for the months leading up to it. But on the day, you know, before we even get on stage to perform, we've got to do an interview with all the judges.
Which sounds quite daunting for me.
It is daunting.
It's like going for an interview mob. Anyone out there been for a job interview and you've got three or four people there in front of you just hammering you with questions? I go to water. I don't know how I even got this job, but to do that, what's it like doing that? Like, it must be...
Oh, it was scary. And, you know, these people have been analysing you and your music and they can, you know, they can see your weak spots.
Yep.
And they will ask you and they'll press you about those things, you know. Did you know that you need to work on this? Did you know you need to work on that? And,
which is quite confronting.
It is quite confronting.
Because they're telling you, hey, you need to improve that. And which is, they're really saying, hey, you're not good enough for that part yet, you need to improve it. So how do you deal with all that?
Yeah, yeah, I think you just need to look at it with maturity and, you know, take that feedback as insight to help you pave out a clear journey going forward. If I didn't do this, if I didn't go through all that process, I might not have been able to see those weak spots and know what I need to work on. So I'm thankful for that.
Let's talk about the songs that you chose to sing last night, both with language.
Yes.
Quite beautiful. And I know for me personally and a couple of other brothers and sisters out there, we first came across you when you did the Flame Trees cover in Gimilaray. I remember back at the time I was working in another media org, but your good friend from here as well, Maddie Webb,
yes,
he grabbed me and said, "Brother, you got to interview this sister. She's the next big thing. She's amazing, and she sings songs in language." And for a lot of us to hear, you know, because Flame Trees is such an iconic song, and then to hear our language in it, it just doubled up for me. You know what I mean? Like I get goosebumps now talking about it because it's just such a beautiful song. But can you tell us about your thought process for picking the songs that you did, but also putting language in songs and why that's important for you in such a mainstream competition?
Yeah, I picked those songs because I think it showcases my artist identity the best. I like to infuse language and music and identity all in one for me because it's what I carry with me every day. And so to be as authentic as I possibly can, because that's what people are looking for, these are the things that I incorporate within my artistry. So you listen to my music and you can really get to know me through those things. And to be able to put music, language into music, is a dream come true for me. I didn't have my language growing up. I learned it at high school. And so to be able to do two things I love at once, language and music, is beautiful. And the translations are sometimes tricky to get.
Yeah.
They take a lot of work, but it happens, you know. And with Flame Trees in particular, we changed that a lot because it's quite a romantic song, and our idea of romanticism in Gomeroi culture is quite different to Western society.
Yeah, can you explain what that is, and can you also explain a bit more around the translation of language? Because a lot of mob out there don't know. They think that they're just match-for-match words out there with the English language, and it's not the case because our language was decimated, so there's a whole process of reclaiming language, right?
There is. There certainly is. And if you can connect with anyone who can give you those pieces of language, I would suggest to do it. But yes, within Gomeroi culture, we romanticise the ear, and we romanticise...
The ear?
Yeah, the ear, because that's how we receive all our knowledge.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And the brain. So knowledge and wisdom for us, and understanding is what is romantic within our culture. So I infused that within the song as well. So that's the point of difference there.
Yeah, that's cool. You're listening to Lauren Ryan on Let's Talk. I'm Danny Teese Johnson, Gomeroi journalist. We're broadcasting live from Tamworth Mall. If you can hear a bit of background noise, it's just a festival, which I absolutely love. It's my first time here. Lauren, can you tell the audience about the festival? I know it's something very dear to your heart. You know, you've got some absolute musical icons here, legends. We met Lee Kernaghan last night. I did. I was pretty blown away by how humble he is. He's just so nice. Can you tell us about the festival and just what is it about this place that makes it such a special event across the world?
Yeah, I think country music fans are the most loyal fans in any genre of music.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Definitely think so. I also think that a lot of country music can stand the test of time over generations, and as other genres of music evolve, you know, country music always has that certain flavour, that certain tradition, and although it can be, inspired and influenced by other genres, country is country and the fans love it. So in saying that, the Tamworth Country Music Festival is one of the biggest festivals in Australia, and people just love coming here. The vibe lifts, the population triples in Tamworth.
Yep.
And like, I've been coming to this ever since I was a little girl, and the magic of it never dies, honestly. From being like a little 4-year-old, like these little kids walking around here seeing all the buskers, I thought the buskers were big time. You know, I'd go home and say, "Mom, I want to do that. I want a microphone. Put me in the street." So, yeah, it's just the magic of it. And you can literally walk down the street and you'll bump into Felicity Urquhart, Lee Kernaghan, Lynn Botel. You'll bump into superstars, and you can just really interact with them. All your favorite artists you can see in the flesh, you know, on a human-to-human level.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah, you're so spot on. Like, you know, James Blundell just walked past here earlier.
Yep.
Grab me a cappuccino if you could, please, James. No, gammon. But, like, it is, I find it really personal. It's a personal,
yes,
sort of festival. Everyone's sort of up close and really nice. Take us back to when you were a little girl. When did you first pick up a guitar, and why did you? What was it about music, about the guitar for you that you know, brought you to this point today?
Yeah. Well, my grandfather played guitar, and all my cousins out at Walgett, shout out to Walgett. My grandfather had dementia, and I'd only ever known him in that stage of his life, and so to interact with him, we would often interact with him through music and through guitar. And so when he had that in his hands, just something about having that in his hands made his memory come back and made him, you know, able to communicate normally again. And just the beauty of seeing that, and my love for music, and being able to connect with my grandfather through that language, was really it for me. And within my family, no girls played guitar, so I was the first one to pick it up. I got my first guitar at 13, which I was so lucky. I was bugging my parents for a long time, and we struggled for a long time.
Guitars cost a lot of money, and I think a lot of people out there, it's easy to take for granted just about how much things cost, and also, you know, the pressure for parents to provide it for their kids. So yeah, it's really cool, eh?
Yeah, it is. So yeah, I picked it up, and I just watched a bunch of videos on YouTube on how to play chords, and I got some advice off my uncle Chrissy Hunt. So yeah, so I started playing. I think I had my first song down in 2 weeks, and it was a Creedence Clearwater song.
Start with the best there, eh? Good old Creedence.
Lol. Yeah, that's how it all started for me. And I guess, seeing my grandfather play guitar, I always wanted to know what that felt like to have it in my hands and to, you know, be able to hold an audience playing and singing.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautiful story. Thanks for sharing that. Because often, yeah, we do, it's a way to communicate with our elders, and obviously you and your family tapped into that with your grandfather, so, and here you are now,
yes,
you know, all these years later, and you're rocking the stage up there. What was it like on stage? How do you hold the audience in the palm of your hand? It's not easy to do, but you did it last night. You were quite phenomenal up there on stage with a couple of others as well, but when do you get that feeling, oh, I've got the audience now? And then what do you do as an artist to, I guess, feed them? I don't know, like, you play with them, right?
Yeah, I think here in Tamworth you're pretty lucky because the audiences are naturally quite captivated, and they're here for the stories, they're here for the music, they're here for those magical moments in the song when the wind blows at just the perfect time. And that's what Tamworth's all about, you know, getting swept up in the music and swept up in the moments. And so that, for me, is it's quite easy to create when I have these songs that I'm able to share my language through, and I'm able to be emotive within my performances, and, you know, sing from way back in a time beyond me, and have the presence of you know, family members who I hadn't even met, you know, just feeling them there. And, yeah, I think that translates through music and through emotion Yeah, and on that stage last night, it was incredible to have a world-class band. Really made it easy to hold that audience and really draw them in. There were moments where I'd ask the band to come down so that the audience could hear the language parts properly and stuff like that.
Well, look at you go.
Yes.
Hey, boss lady. Just quiet down there. I need the language to come through, band.
Yes.
No, but it's all part of the storytelling, isn't it, and the entertainment for the audience.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Every song has its story, and every song is open for its own interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about black women in country music.
Yes.
Hey? Can you tell us a story around that? Someone who's pretty naive to the country music scene like myself. You know, I haven't seen there seems to be plenty of dudes out there doing stuff, but not so many sisters. Can you tell me the story of black women in country music?
Yes, the woman who paved the way in country music was Oriel Andrew.
Yeah, right.
Oriel Andrew was the one. She was the first black woman to be televised on national TV singing a country song.
Really?
Yes. First ever.
I love finding out stuff for the first time. When did this take place?
This took place probably around the 60s.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, 60s. Early 60s, I would say.
Yep.
Yeah, and so since then, there's been, you know, it's been few and far between. We've got Emma Donovan, who dabbled in country music. We've got Jessica Malboy, who made her start right here in Tamworth, on the Telstra Road to Tamworth.
She started here too.
She won, yes. Ah. She started out singing Blue by You. Oh, no.
Hey, yeah, Blue by You.
the song was Blue. Yeah, so those ladies have started out here. But in the way of, you know, black females within country music, like I know of Maddie Colliv Walker, who's an up-and-comer. I know of Sue Ray, who's an up-and-comer. Mm-hmm. Amy Hennen, who's a Gomeray up-and-comer. I know Jem Cassidaly is doing incredible things in that sort of alternative style, mm-hmm. which, you know, lends itself here and there to country music, which I think is beautiful. Kyla Bell, who is 13 years old, and she's about to put us all out of a job. She is here bopping around. She's got an audition for the Macca's Golden Gig, which is a beautiful opportunity to get some performances locked in for the week. So if she wins that, she'll get some really cool opportunities to perform on the big stages around town here. So, yes, a lot of up-and-comers at the moment. I think we're waiting for the one.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. Thanks for dropping all those names, and I hope the audience out there was listening, because it seems to be, yeah, like you said, you're obviously paving the way for people as well. We can't forget that. There would have been so many young sisters in the crowd last night seeing you on stage paving the way for them. How does that feel that, you know, that you got young mob looking up to you now, Lauren?
Yeah, that's all I want to do, because I remember being young, and I remember looking for someone to be inspired by. I remember, you know, looking for someone to, I guess, you know, follow their career and journey and, you know, try to help me put the right foot forward. And so to be up there and to, you know, have the chance to inspire some up-and-comers, First Nations or not, it's so important to me. It's so important. We've always got to continue that, you know, that circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really important because, you know, we've got Uncle Troy in the space. And you've got, you know, all these, you know, amazing singers. You know, we've got the GGs tonight. The Golden Guitar Awards.
Yes.
I've always been standoffish with the Country Music Awards, just because it seemed not very Aboriginal in some aspects, if you know what I mean.
You're right.
So what I saw a couple of years ago was Troy, I call it, he recolonised the Golden Guitar Awards.
He did.
He did that. With his song Shadows on the Hill and all the young dancers that come through that stage, you know, it was one of the most beautiful and significant moments in country music scene that I've, you know, been a witness of. But for you as a country artist, seeing that at the Golden Guitar Awards, seeing our mob come through painted up and dancing, and Troy singing about massacres and genocide, how does that feel for you, and for you seeing that?
You know, it's been a long time coming within the country music space to be able to be truthful about these things and, you know, have people listen, learn and resonate with that message, with that truth, with that history. So, yes, I think it's definitely about time something like that happened, and it's definitely a top memorable moment from the Golden Guitars, I would say, over all of its years in the happening. It's one of the most memorable moments. And, you know, it opens the door for us to do some more truth-telling. We do have stories to tell. Yep. I did a radio interview with someone not too long ago. I won't say any names, but, you know, we were talking about culture, and some people get quite uncomfortable, you know, talking about it because they don't want the past to be brought up. They don't want, you know, to hear those things. And I had him, you know, suggest a song title that I could write a song to, and he told me to only write about the good things and not the bad things. And I walked away from that interview going, what good things? Not to say that we don't have.
Did this interview take place in 1950 or something? Or?
No, 2022, and we still have those sort of, you know, keep it under the rug mentalities.
Yeah. Stay away from the uncomfortable truths.
Yes.
That sort of thing. Let's talk about your musical influences. I noticed last night in the video that you presented for the Star Maker Grand Final that you wanted to be this generation's Troy Cassidaly. Can you tell me about your influences and, you know, I guess what all these heroes and icons mean to you? Because I saw it last night, I saw the energy in the room, and when Lee walked in and, you know, people got to meet him and things like that, and I probably take it for granted, that stuff. But tell us how all that feels for you.
It's a moment, and when someone of that that caliber walks in, and someone who you've listened to their music for so many years, and seen them perform, when they walk in, the whole atmosphere of the room changes. It honestly does, and you're gravitated towards these people, and you have so much respect for them. But yeah, I did say I wanted to be this generation's Troy Cassidaly. And I say that because I have so much respect for him. I would never say that I'm as good as Uncle Troy, but just the respect I have for him to have been a fan from Beyond the Dancing to the world today, you know, all of the albums in between. I cut my teeth learning harmonies to every single Troy Cassidaly album. That's how I learned my harmonies and backing vocals. And Uncle Troy just carries himself with so much grace, and so much presence on stage, so much truth, so much beauty, so much heart. And those are all the things that I am, you know, referring to when I say I'd love to be this generation's Troy Cassidaly.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And knowing Troy, he'd want you to be as good as him. He's just like that. He's so nice. But hopefully he's listening, and him and his family, because I know when he does listen a lot. And to be able to hear those words coming from you, I think he'd be quite moving. Let's talk about tonight, the Golden Guitar Awards.
Yes.
What does that whole event mean for you as young and upcoming country music stars? I mean, I guess you see the best of the best, but I know you said earlier you haven't been before.
Yeah.
This will be your first time. What is it about this Night of Nights that makes it so special?
Oh my God, to be in the room where it happens. I think that is the sentence that I'll use. You get to be in the room where it all happens. The winners are announced. The nominees are announced, who are just as important. You know, they've been acknowledged by their peers for the work that they've put out, and it is good enough for one of those awards. And so to be in the room that all of these people who are achieving great things are going to be in, it's priceless. The opportunities that can come from something like that for an up-and-comer, you can't get that anywhere else. And so I'm really, really excited to be going for the very first time ever, and as a Star Maker finalist, it's all the stars have aligned. I think.
I see what you did there, Laura. I see what you did.
For an up-and-coming artist, it's difficult to buy a ticket, so if you can scavenge one from somewhere, I would highly suggest.
Hashtag media pass. Very lucky. I'm very lucky. Hey, let's talk about, let's keep the, while you're talking about stars, There's a certain family here that I want to mention that I know are pretty dear to your heart, in the Knox family.
Yes.
Uncle Roger and Uncle Buddy Knox, absolute legends. Can you tell me about the influence they've had on you, and I guess the work that you do with them currently? Because I know you, still do work with the Knox family, musical work. But just tell us about them and that magical journey you're on with them.
Yes. So. Man, I was a kid who was too ashamed to, like, get out of the bedroom and sing. And my parents would, like, stand at the door and listen, try to hear me practicing and that. And so I was 13. One year they had a karaoke competition at the youth centre. And I went down there. It was my first time at the youth centre. And I sang. I won a little gift card. I'm pretty sure it was just, like, a participation award. And Uncle
Roger, you showed up. Have this certificate. I've got a whole wall full, don't worry.
Oh man. Poppy Roger was there, Uncle Buddy was there, the Knox boys were there, and from then I was lucky enough to be able to build a relationship with Poppy Roger Knox. He asked me to go and sing at an elders gathering, which was happening later in the week, so I got to rehearse a song in language, one of his songs, and sing it with him. And that was my very first time on stage, and I remember I was so scared. I had to borrow some of my sister's clothes because I didn't ever have anything that looked nice. And it just happened from there. We all went back in the green room, and Uncle Buddy started to play a bunch of songs that he had been working on with his own daughter, and he said, just sing these for me. And so I did, and I was able to then build that relationship with Uncle Buddy, who went on to mentor me from 13 right through to 18. And, he'd come over home every weekend. Mum and Dad had put on a feed for him, and we'd just sit in the lounge room for hours working on repertoires, watching stuff on YouTube of Beyonce and how she performs, and Tina Turner's stage presence and how she performs. And just really, really analyzing artists and what they do and why they do it. He also helped me work on my ear and my pitch as well. So I went from someone who couldn't sing in tune to someone with rather good pitch, if I say so myself.
Yeah.
On the hard work. So they're very fond to me. And I've since gone on to give back some of the things that they've given to me to other young and upcoming artists.
That's so special. You have to do that for years. Uncle turn up and parents cook a feed up, and off you just go to the lounge room and just learn your craft.
I'm lucky. I'm very lucky. My parents would get angry because Uncle Buddy would always lose his guitar pick, and so I'd have to get the bread clip off the bread. So whenever he left, Mum and Dad would be like, where's the bread pick? Like a
spawn
with Uncle Bud.
And I think it was Uncle Roger won the big award yesterday.
He did.
Added to the Stars of the Galaxy, I think it is. And for more about there listening, if you don't know the Knox family. Please look them up. You can go to iTunes or Spotify and just look up their music anywhere, I'm sure.
Yes, please.
But they call him the Black Elvis.
They do.
So he's probably got those swinging hips there. But can you tell us about that award yesterday and what that means, what the Stars of the Galaxy, what that means for the punters out there that don't know?
Yes, so, yeah, Poppy Roger Knox, he was inducted to the Galaxy of Stars, and that is where you get a plaque with your face on it. It's kind of like the Hollywood stars.
Yeah.
You know, you get a star with
their walk
your name
of fame,
on
but
it.
We've got their face.
Yes, yes. It's got the face within a star, and it's like a tile, and it gets put down right at the front of the Tamworth Recreational Entertainment Centre.
Oh, yep.
And that's where the golden guitars happen. That's where a lot of the ticketed shows, whoever comes to town performing, they are at the track. So it gets placed down right there in front of the track, and you know, Slim Dusty's got one, Felicity Urquhart's got one, the McClymonts have one, Travis Collins, Adam Harvey, yeah, anyone has one.
Troy have one?
Oh, Troy does have one. Jimmy Little has one as well, so I think he would be probably the third First Nations artist to have one. And look, he should have been the first.
So, Lauren, obviously the festival goes for a couple of weeks. Just a week?
Just a week this time.
Just a week this time, because it's moved. You know,
it's moved.
It's
yeah.
Usually in January.
Yeah.
And it usually is a longer event then. what's it like having the event now move to April? Does it feel a bit funny?
Yeah.
It's a bit weird. It's like it's usually 40 degrees and, you know, crazy weather and whatnot. And here we are, we're, you know, it's pretty chilly in the mall. We're heading into winter. So as an artist, is it a difference?
Yeah, there is quite a difference. I think the energy has sort of had to be built this year. It's not that usual summer buzz, that summer feeling, summer fever that you get when Tamworth rolls around. So we're in April and, yeah, we get quite, like, dynamic weather here. It's a bit cold in the morning, and then it's hot in the afternoon, and then, you know, dressing gown weather at night.
Does get cold here, let me tell you. I've actually got the mission out here is called Cold Dale. No, I'm joking, it's Cold Dale. But, you know, it's a lovely area.
Yeah, so I think the energy has had to be a bit built, but I think we are on the ground running now, just looking around, looking at the people, enjoying the beautiful performers that we have out here. There's literally a different performer, like, every 10 steps.
Yeah.
So much to see.
Yep, I'm loving it. It's quite a buzz here in the mornings. So we've had the Star Maker finals last night. What's next for you? What do you have to, if you've got more events that you have to do in the festival, and then what happens post that?
Oh, yeah, I'm sort of taking it one day at a time while festival's on.
Yep.
Tomorrow I have a few spots around town where I'm going to perform. I'm performing with the Star Maker winner tomorrow at 10:30 on the Fan Zone stage in Fitzroy Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 11:30 I'm hosting a panel for APRA at the pub, which will feature Fenny Lumsden, Ashley Dallas and Caitlin Harnett from Caitlin Harnett and the Pony Boys out of Melbourne. So I'll be doing that, and then in the evening I've got an industry mixer for Music New South Wales at Hogsworth from 8:30, which will be a lot of fun. You'll be able to come and see some superstars down there and talk to them one-on-one, and talk to some of the people from Music New South Wales, which, you know, they roll out a number of grants that can help you with your music. So if you're looking for something like that, I'd head down to that. On Friday, I've got a spot on Toyota Zone in Fitzroy Street at noon. It's a Toyota tailgate performance. I'll be on the back of a ute singing. And then in the evening, I've got a band gig on at the Wilder Zog, which will be so much
fun. A pretty quiet time for you.
Oh, you know.
No, it's just good for the audience to understand out there that while there's some music events happening, there's so much workshops and industry events happening here.
Yes.
You're planning for the next year ahead, obviously, and you know, where to take country music, I guess.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, it's you know, 50% of it is about networking and about who you speak to and identifying opportunities from an opportunity, I guess, if that makes sense. The inception of opportunity.
Nah, and that's where you got to be. You got to rub shoulders. You got to network.
Yes.
What's your message in your music? Where do you want to take it to? Got a few people here giving high fives. Showed a couple of my cousins over the street here. We're broadcasting live from Tamworth Mall. I'm talking to Lauren Ryan on Let's Talk. We're out here in magical Gomeroi country. Shout out my cousins walking past. Don't tell them I've got any travel allowance. What's the message in your music? Obviously, you know, you're probably still telling stories and truth-telling in your music, but what's the message, main message in your music when you get up on stage? I mean, you know, you pointed out Lynn Botel to me last night, how amazing she was on stage when she gets up and has such a presence and an aura, and since she sings, everybody just, you know, just listens. What about for you? What about that stage presence and that message that you want to bring to audiences?
Yeah, I guess I'm young, but I'm a person who's lived and experienced some of the best and the worst of the world. Mm-hmm. And so, look, I bring all that with me because, you know, we are our experiences. And music is one of the ways that we can move through those experiences and grow and learn and understand the why of everything. So, like, I've written songs about domestic violence and a kind of like a Stockholm syndrome, relationships, and being a single mom, and you know, working my butt off every day.
Yeah.
I've written songs that are a bit tongue-in-cheek, just reminding myself of what I'm good at. And, yeah, those are the songs that I like to put out there. Just my truth. And, I've got more to say. Lots more to say. Yeah. Exciting new releases happening and co-writes.
And doing all this as a single mum's just, you know, amazing. And it must be, I don't know, you think your young one might follow in your footsteps?
Ooh. Hey? She's definitely got the makings of a performer, I will say that. She sings beautifully. She absolutely loves Thelma Plum.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes.
She got very good taste then.
She's always very interested in coming into the music room and rehearsing with me, and, yeah, I definitely think she will, and you know, all the things that I'm doing with my career now, no doubt will help her when the time comes and she's ready to, you know, have her first busking spot.
Yeah, look out. Might be Annie the Savvy.
Next year for sure.
Yeah. Lauren, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
And sharing, I guess, your story around your music, your truth telling. Your language, and please keep singing language.
Thank you. Yeah, I plan to share lots more. But yeah, for anyone out there looking to learn and with kids, looking to learn Gomeroi, I've got a kids album out, just released late February.
Let's drop all your, so where can we get your music? What have you dropped? What have you got coming up? And where can our mob and anyone else out there listening download your music?
Yeah, you can listen on any of the good streaming services, iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube Music, all the places. You can get my music for free, or if you want to spend money on it, you can do that on iTunes. but yeah, I keep my socials pretty up to date, so Lauren Ryan Music on Facebook and Instagram is where you'll be able to see where I'm at when I'm there. Stalk me. If you wish. I've got a brand new single out eventually that was it went incredibly well. It reached
number one. number one across the world.
Number one on the iTunes country chart, which I'm very lucky. My first number one over my whole career. And the same week I released the kids' album in Gomori language. So those are my two recent releases. You can check them out on streaming services.
Well, we can't wait. Make sure you get there, people. Lauren Ryan, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. The Star Maker, Star Maker. Thanks again for coming on the show, Lauren.
We can't say I'm the Star Maker because
I'm saying you're the Star Maker's Star Maker.
Ah, yes.
So Blackfellas, we got our own Star Maker comp,
okay.
Right? You're the Star Maker, Star Maker. So don't worry. Shout out to the actual winner of the Star Maker comp. We won't steal your Toyota today. But no, honestly, thanks for sharing your stories.
Thank you.
Thanks for your entertainment and your courage when you get on stage. There's going to be a whole, army of little sisters out there picking up guitars because of you, I think, and singing and telling their truth. So
yes, please, just do it. Cheapo and start strumming.
You've been listening to Let's Talk. We'll be back tomorrow from Tamworth. We'll bring you all the latest from the happenings out here. And I'll be speaking with the lovely Knox family tomorrow. So I'm really looking to bring that story here. And you've been listening to AAA Murray Country.